This world is a raging cauldron of unbelief. Have you noticed?
Wow, that is poetic for a Monday morning. A raging cauldron of unbelief.
Yeah, I thought about it all weekend, and I came up with that. A raging cauldron of unbelief. We are vexed. It's just, oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, you know, the Pharisees are still running rampant. Only the names have changed, but the spirit's the same. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to start the week on a negative note there, but...
Jay, you must need a hug today, or you haven't had enough coffee yet.
No, I need a hug. Where are you, Dan? Why are you so far away from me?
Oh, I wish I could come give you a hug.
I know. I wish you could, too. If anybody wants to give Martin Zender a hug, my address is 412 Bedford Street. Winburg, Pennsylvania, 15963. Set your GPS. Get over here and give me a hug, people. I'll hug you back. You know it.
I think we've grossed out the listeners enough for Monday morning.
No, it's not. We're supposed to kiss each other with a holy kiss, Paul said. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Holy kiss. Clyde will do
one
that.
Time in my life, I don't want to be biblical.
No, Clyde will kiss me on the neck sometimes. You notice when Clyde greets you, he hasn't seen you in a while, he'll give you a kiss on the neck. It's a holy kiss. It's really nice. It's brotherly affection. I think we need more of it, damn it.
You're right.
All right.
On the deck. Seriously,
change the topic now. Having said that,
I want to bring up something in the news lately when it comes to the death subject.
The death subject. Okay.
Well, you brought up this idea about the Pharisees are raging. Did you notice there's a young man in the news, and this may take us off topic, but I think you'll see that it is part of topic. And just like every show we've always done in the past, we start off with an idea and we throw it out when we get there. But
sure, we do that all the time. Yes.
This is within the range of the topic conversation. Now, you and I aren't Seventh-day Adventists, but one thing we do have in common with them is that we believe that the dead are dead. You knew that about the Seventh-day Adventists, right?
That they believe the dead are dead, yes. I believe I did know that.
Now, there's that TV show, 2.5 Men, and the young kid in the show basically is telling everyone not to watch it because it's filth and all this other stuff. And now all the Christians are coming out in support of this young man, standing up for his, quote, faith. Isn't it interesting how Christendom will embrace the things that they embrace, but the very things that make you and I raging heretics in the eyes of Christendom, the idea that the dead are dead, and not only that, that God is ultimately going to save all mankind, that makes us outsiders, hated, enemies, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they show you the how Christendom will use the latest press for their advantage. They're embracing this young kid's, quote, faith, but it's what's amazing to me is that if most Christians, you know, they embrace the moral aspects of things and completely ignore some of the doctrine. Isn't it a strange inconsistency?
Yeah, it is. It's inconsistent down the line. It goes along with the classic Pharisaic malady of having the beam in your eye and then struggling to remove the mote from your brother's eye. It's they strain out gnats and swallow camels, those people, really. And here's the huge thing we're talking about is death. What is death? Dan, I'll never forget when a group of us started doing Christian radio in Cleveland. In 1999, I told a friend of mine that we were going to be doing this show, and he said, what are you guys going to talk about? I said, we're going to talk about big themes. And he said, oh, you mean like abortion and Christians in politics and, legislating the law? That's the idea of big themes. homosexual marriage, all these. No, I'm saying we're going to talk about free will. We're going to talk about eternal torment. We're going to talk about if Satan has a free will. Where's your dead grandmother? That's what we're going to talk about. These are big themes, and Christianity is so lost in the social details and the social gospel and trying to, like you say, work the media to make some lame point. And in the meantime, they're purveyors of the most noxious poison to ever come from anyone, namely that God is an eternal tormentor. It's just, they always wonder, why isn't anyone listening to us? Because your message carries the virus of eternal torment. I still need a hug.
Yeah, and you still need a hug is right, especially after these shows. But anyway, that's the point being here, the reason why I bring this up is because of the inconsistency, because of the absolute hatred of things that are of more importance. And, you know, there's nothing more important than if a man die, shall he live again. What people believe about death and resurrection is going to guide their present. You know, I was reading... And you know my love for history. There's a series of books on the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon. And he made a comment, and I almost have to read it to you. And I wrote it in the – can you give me a second to find it here? We're not going to edit so we sound like geniuses. So I'm going to
– Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. No, we don't make ourselves sound like geniuses. We are what we are. While you're looking that up, I'll tell the listeners, I'm experimenting with a new – headset here. I noticed that some of the recordings we've been doing, my audio is breaking up a little bit, so I'm trying a new headset. I don't even know how it sounds yet, so we'll have to listen to this show ourselves, and we'll tweak the sound, but thank you for your patience. This has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. How you doing on that quote?
I found it. This is in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, and he points out this is about the fall of Rome. He goes, to the strength and fierceness of barbarians, okay? These are the people who sacked Rome, okay? To the strength and fierceness of barbarians, they added a contempt for life, which was derived from a warm persuasion of the immortality and transmigration of the soul.
Ooh.
So what made these people so violent?
You tell me.
The belief in the immortality of the soul.
I hate it when souls transmigrate.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying, though? And this is true in Christendom. Queen Anne, who was a wretched queen, said that, well, since God tortures souls in the afterlife, it's my job to burn heretics now on life, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think that was Queen Mary.
Her creed motivated her action.
Yeah. I think that was Bloody Mary. Yeah, Bloody Mary.
Excuse me, did I say
Queen Mary of
Bloody
Scott?
Mary. It's Mary, Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And so this is not, you said earlier, this is not a minor issue. This is not a side issue. This is infinitely more important than social so-called issues. Because I am of the belief, and I know you are, and I know Paul is, the apostle, that what you believe affects what you do. What is inside you is going to come out. And if you believe in eternal conscious torment, I'll tell you what, it will show in your dealings with your fellow men.
Yes, it will. You know, we were having a Bible study here last night, Dan. I wish you had been here. There's a verse, I think the King James reads, it's in Psalms somewhere, precious is the death of saints, of a saint to the Lord.
Yeah.
Speaks of precious is the death. And Christians will quote this at funerals as if, oh, the death of this saint of God is precious to God because now God has taken him or her into his bosom. But actually, the right translation in that is costly is the death. Costly. It's the sense of like precious stones. It's not precious in that it's dear to him. He just loves it. It's precious in that it's very expensive when a soul leaves this earth and a person dies. And these people you're talking about, these Romans who just killed wholesale, and some of the Christian crusaders, they just kill people wholesale because they believe in the immortality of the soul. If they realized how precious, how valuable life is, but again, that doctrine of the immortality of the soul keeps them from seeing and believing that.
Yeah, and boy, that I've read that verse a million times. I don't think I've ever seen that translation in Psalm 116 there. That's amazing.
Yeah, costly. It's costly.
Translation.
It costs God something. He created these beings. You know, this is what these murderers, and I'm including Christian teaching of eternal torment, they're murdering, a murdering doctrine. These murderers, they're so callous about it because they didn't create these people that they're consigning to an eternal death, an eternity of torment. They didn't create them. Their life isn't precious to them. Death isn't even precious to them. But it is to God. He created it. Created life to be lived and enjoyed with Him for eternity, eventually.
Well, that's a great thought. As you were talking, you know, the one of the best things about studying together is you learn things you didn't know yourself. You know. Here we go. I just found another translation. I've been trying to look this up. It's Psalm 116:15, by the way.
Okay. You're good with those references. I always learn a new reference.
I haven't found one that doesn't say precious, not even the Concordant version. So we're gonna have to. I got to find that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it might be a marginal note somewhere, or if you look at other ways that word was translated, because even the Concordant version does that sometimes. They'll translate a couple of different ways, but even the word precious works if you look at it in the sense of like a precious stone, not, oh, it's so great to him that somebody died. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Well, like a commodity.
And that goes with the saying that God doesn't delight in death either. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, even though he had the power of resurrection. In the book of Job, Job said that God has a longing for the work of his hands. And in the context of when Job was writing, it was referring to his death and the idea that God longs for the day of reunion and resurrection when life abolishes death. And we've talked about this before. Not even God glamorizes death. He hates it. It's an enemy. He hates it more than we do.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He hates it, and he tolerates it, and his desire of his heart is to liberate all humanity from it. I love that the teaching that when Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I think you pointed this out to me. He had to use the name Lazarus, or else the power of his declaration would have emptied every tomb on the planet. If he hadn't said Lazarus, I know, isn't that epic?
Yeah, I just get chills.
That's the power of Christ to raise the dead. Folks, I hope you're hearing this message. Life and death, these are matters of life and death. And the Word of God has much to say on this. It's not a mystery, as many people tell you. It's just a mystery we can't figure out. That's not true. We are here to expose the lie of a mystery. God is plain in His Word about life and death. We're exploring that with you. Can I count on you back here tomorrow, Mr. Sheridan?
Yes, you can.
Oh, good, because it wouldn't be the same without you. Thanks for listening,
right,
folks. We'll be back tomorrow.